After this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and peoples and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands, and cried with a loud voice, saying, Salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. The Feast of All Saints is one of the most ancient of the church calendar. The earliest record of a feast like All Saints is All Martyrs' Day, which is first referenced in the year 209, which means that it was celebrated long before that. You can imagine that before Constantine, when the church did suffer various periods of localized and sometimes severe persecution, that the first day that might come to mind for them would be All Martyrs' Day. For these were not long mystical past figures. These were sometimes family members. These were sometimes those that they had known or that were even buried nearby in localized areas where they would remember the persecution, especially in the third century when they still endured the persecution. The first time that the All Martyrs Day was more officially observed was in the middle of the 4th century in 369 when the church had her freedom and was able to celebrate such a feast day, All Martyrs Day, more openly. But All Saints Day became a feast roughly around the same time, but more officially and more openly observed at the beginning of the 7th century, when in a real, let's say, a real boss move in the city of Rome, the Pantheon was declared now to be a place of Christian worship, whereas once before the Roman religion would worship a pantheon of gods, the church came through and said, all of these are fake, but we've got some people that you actually should acknowledge, the saints. And so that feast day was entitled the Feast Day of St. Mary and All Saints. It was in England and in Ireland when it first was most widespread, though, All Saints Day at the turn of the millennium. And from those regular feast days from the British Isles, the tradition spread to the rest, to the West and to the East, the Feast of All Saints. So when we come to the Reformation, sometimes there is a resistance in Reformation or churches that follow the Reformation tradition from acknowledging any saints or anything. And of course, that resistance comes from the abuse of the system or the acknowledgement of saints, which had developed in the late Middle Ages. And so now there is a saint-a-phobia, a hagiophobia, I just made up a word. Is there a word for allergy to, an allergy to saints? And so the word saint is stricken, except in the great Baptist hymns of the church, I suppose you might say. And some would say that there's no reason for us to distinguish saints, the great saints of the ancient church, with Uncle Larry and Aunt Sue. Except that the church develops a distinction between the saints and a feast entitled All Souls, which would come up about the 11th century. And we can argue about which way of observing the saints is correct. Certainly we're all saints if we are in Christ. But I'll bet that you could list all of the good qualities of Uncle So-and-so and probably miss some of the Beatitudes when you were listing his behaviors. The church recognizes saints as those who have lived exemplary lives over the past 2,000 years. And when we think of Jesus's Sermon on the Mount and we listen to this description, blessed are the poor in spirit, we may think of one of our relatives. When we think of blessed are they that mourn, surely we know some of those. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness. We may pause as we think of our relatives, say, well, not so much hunger. But there are some in the church's life that have lived exemplary lives, and the church has called them saints. I bet you also that while we now observe this great day of All Saints, I'll bet that you never grieved over the loss of St. Augustine. You've never had a sorrow in your heart that you won't be able to continue with St. Augustine with you any longer. But I bet you have about one of your loved ones. And one of your loved ones we would call certainly a saint of God, but in another sense. And instead we remember, we recall, we pray for those on All Souls Day. There is a distinction. But nevertheless, it is true that you could blend these two together and call them all saints if you wanted to. If only there was some vision, some heavenly view of what that scene might look like when saints and souls and all of the church, militant and expectant and triumphant, came together. If only there was some revelation that we could read where someone had the curtain drawn back and they glimpsed something that took their breath away, that was as difficult to describe as anything. If you've ever tried to read through the whole book of Revelation, you'll see that they struggled to describe something that they saw. You look at the cover of your bulletin and try to imagine your eyes being opened to a scene that looked like that. That's the closest we could get to describing it. And it looked something like this. And this is, you know, we're singing about those saints of God, and some were priests, and some were torn apart by fierce wild beasts, and some you could meet in the lane or at tea, and others were queens, and some were sailors, etc. It seems like a cute idea, but it's not cute. That is the church. This is our theology. And when we think of St. Augustine and Uncle Larry at the same scene, what scene will they both be in? After this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and peoples and tongues, and I will say, and ages, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands, and cried with a loud voice, saying, Salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne and upon the Lamb. And all the angels stood round about the throne, and about the elders and the four living creatures, and fell before the throne on their faces, and worshipped God, saying, Amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto our God forever and ever. Amen. Why have you come to this church on the Feast of All Saints? Because you're one of those, and you've been asked to join in. And we say this liturgy together, and we sing these hymns together, and not alone. When we come to a portion of our liturgy that says, And therefore with angels and archangels and all the company of heaven, you're there too. These walls fall down, this roof lifts off, and you are with the church militant, the church expectant, the church triumphant. And our hope, we get a glimmer of it and a glimpse of it there. You're in the right place on All Saints as you're here tonight. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.